May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the epistle lesson, Galatians chapter 5, especially these words. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear Saints, St. Paul sounds like a good red-blooded American, doesn't he? For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Soon we'll be celebrating Independence Day, a time when we Americans focus on freedom and individual rights, the freedom of self-governance, and representation, no taxation without representation. We assert the right to life, as affirmed by the court this past week. In the Bill of Rights, we have certain freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion. And the Bill of Rights seeks to make sure that government does not impinge upon these. I wonder what the founding fathers would think if they looked at the freedoms that are granted us today. But political or civic freedom is not exactly what Paul has in mind in these words to the Galatians. But he is speaking of what we might call spiritual freedom. So there are two questions we need to ask. What are we freed from? And so what? What are we no longer enslaved to? And what is the purpose of the freedom that Christ has given us? Think about the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were completely free. They were free to enjoy God's gifts, free to do almost anything they wanted to do. But Satan convinced them otherwise. He convinced them that God was holding out on them, that they were not truly free. Satan told them that they needed to be free to know the difference between good and evil. They needed to have their eyes opened. The devil convinced them that they had free choice and they should exercise that freedom by disobeying God. So they did. Following Satan's lead, Adam and Eve declared their independence from God, and it was not a good thing, as it turns out. For now, they were slaves. Slaves to themselves, slaves to sin, slaves to their own evil desires. In Jesus' day, he also talked about freedom. And the Jews didn't really understand what he was talking about. In John 8, we read, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" The Jews didn't recognize their own enslavement, to sin. But we know that through Christ's death on the cross and his glorious resurrection, we have been set free. As we continue in God's word, we abide in him. We are his disciples. We are his own dear children. But again, I ask, free from what? First and foremost, we have been freed from the wrath of God over our sin. What should have been our punishment was placed upon Jesus. We have been set free from God's righteous judgment on account of our sin. The Son sets us free. We have been freed from the punishment of sin, the guilt of sin, the shame of the sin committed upon us by other people. We have been freed from holding on to grudges, freed from refusing to forgive, for judgment is the Lord's. We've been freed from needing to worry about what the world thinks about us or about the church. For we know that God loves us in Christ. We have been freed from having to fret over scraping together every dollar we can because God promises to care for us. We have been freed from having to succumb to every evil desire and temptation that presents itself because we know that God's way is better than ours. We have been freed from having to hoard the things of this world and freed to give generously to others and to the church. For all these things, God in Christ has freed us. So we are free. And this freedom is free. It is the gift of the Lord in Christ. Sadly, like all gifts from God, it can be twisted and abused. Freedom can be perverted into license, freedom to do whatever we want. St. Paul is combating this idea in Romans chapter 6, and he poses this rhetorical question: what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin, that grace may abound? As if to say, since I know I'm going to be forgiven anyway, shouldn't I just go ahead and do that thing that God says is not a good idea? There's no reason to think about the consequences for my sin because I know God will just forgive me. I'm free. I'm free to divorce my spouse if that feels right. I'm free to have an abortion if this baby's not coming at a good time. I'm free to live together with my significant other before marriage if that's convenient. I'm free to get drunk if my friends are doing it. I'm free to not help the church unless I have a little bit of spare change that I can give. But this is not the freedom of which Paul speaks. He answers the question, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound, by saying, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So that begs the question, what have we been freed for? If it's not that we've been freed to go ahead and do whatever it is we want all the time, what is the purpose for God setting us free? Yes, to be his children. Yes, so that we be freed from eternal death for eternal life. But what does Paul say in our text? For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Which is to say, don't use your freedom to now go on living in whatever way the world entices you to do, whatever seems appealing, whatever sin tickles your fancy, because that's just putting yourself back under a yoke of slavery, the same yoke from which you've already been freed. Whoever sins is a slave to sin, Jesus says. Instead, use your freedom to love and serve one another. Use your freedom to live as one of God's chosen people. You remember last week's gospel reading? What did the demoniac do when Jesus set him free from the legion of demons that had possessed him? Two things. First, he sat down at Jesus' feet and listened to him. And second, he went and told everybody what Jesus had done for him. That's what he did. The first two things he did with the freedom that God had given him. You likewise have been freed that you might listen to Jesus. You're free to listen to God's word daily, to pray daily, to have devotions daily, to abide in God's word. You're freed from worrying about having to get enough sleep on Sunday morning or about all the things that you need to do, and free to be in God's house, receiving his gifts with your fellow Christians. You are free to then proclaim to others all that God has done for you in Christ. This is the freedom about which Paul speaks. He has freed us for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Or consider God himself. God is really the only truly free being in the entire universe, right? God is free to do whatever he wants to do. Literally, no one can stop him. And what does God choose to do with his freedom? In the gospel lesson, we heard what the disciples thought might be a good idea to do with all that freedom. When Jesus was not welcomed into town, when the disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. They went on to another village. God did not use his freedom for vengeance, but instead became one of us. He chose to live with us. He chose to come into this world to suffer and die for you. He could do anything he wanted, yet he chose to serve us. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what Jesus did with his freedom. He saw you and me in our sin, dead in our trespasses and sins, and yet did not destroy us. Instead, he chose to pay the ultimate price of his life upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He does not use his freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serves you. Thanks be to God that Jesus has freed us from our sin and made us his own dear children. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.